Welcome to SwampSwami.com, sports commentary and more. And it's time for a special Saturday edition of Sweep the Swampcast for Saturday, March 16, 2019. First of all, a vacation update. I've been away from you this week. I know, we missed each other, but we had a nice fun week on the plains of Oklahoma and North Texas. Now, I've seen windmills before, but not the number and size of these so-called windmill farms in the plains. I was thinking maybe 5 or 10, nope. 15 or 20, nope. More like 50 or more of these things for miles and miles along some ridges of the Oklahoma and northern Texas areas. And for those of you that think oil rigs and gas wells are ugly for the landscape, you haven't seen windmill farms. Yuck! UGLY, they ain't got no alibi. Anyway, I got to see the Oklahoma City downtown area for the first time in almost 30 years in the new Bricktown ballpark for the AAA Oklahoma City Dodgers. Beautiful. It's a beautiful old-school look at the stadium. Have nifty statues of Warren Spahn and Johnny Bench and Mickey Mantle out front. OKC's done a really good job with the Bricktown area in general, as it was a part of downtown that was left for dead 30 years ago when I was last there. So good job, OKC. If you guys are listening and ever want to take your lady to see like the Food Network's Pioneer Woman Eatery in the town of Pawhuska, it's a little town northwest of Tulsa, make sure you plan to wait 2 hours to get a chance to eat your lunch. We were there on a Monday at 1:30 in the afternoon thinking that, hey, it's past the lunch hour rush. No, sir. 2 hour wait. That Drummond family has done a great job of rehabbing downtown Pawhuska, though. Lots of ladies spending lots of money on trinkets and souvenirs. I'm jealous. These are smart people. Same goes for Waco, Texas. On our way back to the swamp here, we took a chance to go through the downtown kingdom run by Chip and Joanna Gaines from the Fixer Upper TV cable show. Like the Pioneer Woman Lady of Oklahoma, these two cable stars of Texas had hundreds of people lined up to visit their Magnolia store. For us guys, I'd call it a nice junk store. Again, there were at least 10 to 1 ladies versus men in the area. Good news is that the men's restroom wait was non-existent. And now that I'm back home in the swamp, I need to get caught back up on the sports events of the week. Yes, March Madness is upon us. I had a chance to watch some of the tournament action on Friday. As usual, the ACC and the SEC will probably dominate the entries into the NCAA men's tournament seeding. Things that I learned on Friday included, number one, Duke and North Carolina are really good, and it wouldn't surprise me if either one of them won it all this year. Bye. Zion Williamson for Duke is fun to watch, as he has that gleam and twinkle in his eye. It reminds me of a bigger Charles Barkley, who just enjoys throwing his weight around on the court while making hustle plays that the other players just aren't willing to do either. Number two, Virginia. They lost last year, you might remember, in the first round of the NCAA tournament to a 16 seed. Well, the Cavaliers lost in the ACC semifinals to Florida State on Friday. And as much as I love what Coach Tony Bennett has done at Virginia, their team is geared to win in the regular season, but they can be taken down if their defense is exposed by teams with athletic abilities. Florida State did exactly that on Friday. If you put your money down on Virginia in the NCAA pick'ems next week,
sell.
You just love Virginia. That's all I can say. Speaking of Florida State, number three, Coach Leonard Hamilton's fourth-seeded team in the ACC tournament runs under the national radar down in the ACC. You have Virginia, Duke, North Carolina get all the headlines, but Florida State is a nifty 27-6 on the year, and they just beat Virginia yesterday. They only have one more loss than Duke. Yeah, those guys, that Duke, number one Duke. Duke and Florida State will play tonight in the ACC championship game. The four top seeds in the ACC are all capable of a long run in the NCAA tournament. Now let's look at the SEC and LSU, who we wrote about on Friday. You might want to check that out. LSU went down in its first game in the SEC tournament on Friday, losing again to Florida for the second time in three meetings this season. Florida's pace of play is a lot like Virginia, very deliberate, very slow, and it clearly frustrates an LSU team which loves to run up and down the court. Florida probably played themselves into the NCAA tournament yesterday with the win, while LSU's off-court issues, which we've talked about, may be big enough of a distraction to keep them from being a factor in the upcoming NCAA tournament. I'd stay away from LSU going very far in the NCAA tournament. This team seems to have some issues. 5, Kentucky and Tennessee from the SEC. The SEC tournament is in Nashville, Tennessee, and as you might know, Kentucky fans, they're smart, and they buy their tickets en masse early. Tennessee and Kentucky are meeting today, and tickets will be in short supply. Get your wallet ready for that game. Both of these teams are very solid and have a decent chance of doing quite well in the NCAA tournament as well. Number 6, Gonzaga. I watched the West Coast Zags lose to St. Mary's in the finals of their conference tournament the other night. St. Mary's plays a lot like Virginia. Slow. And they frustrated Gonzaga. The formula to beat Gonzaga was just shown to all NCAA challengers. And as much as I love what Coach Mark Few has done, I have trouble seeing them winning it all this year. 7. The University of Houston. The Cougars epitomize everything you want to see in a basketball team at this time of year. They're 30-2 on the season. They play terrific defense every single game. They can beat you in a slowdown game or a running game too. And they have senior leadership and play well together. If their shooting goes haywire though, they could have some trouble. I like the Cougs to make another good run in the tournament. This is definitely a team for those of us who like to root for the underdogs. And then on the other hand, there's number 8, Michigan State. Sparty, like Houston, has great team balance, senior leadership, and a terrific coach too. Tom Izzo, it's tough to bet against him in the NCAA tournament. Watch out for Michigan State. Like Houston, I think they could be the teams to get to the finals this year. Villanova, number 9. Yes, they've struggled at times this year, but the Wildcats play their best in March. Watch out for them as a semi-sleeper. And number 10, if you're looking for a sleeper, look no further than the Mid-America Conference, the MAC, and the Buffalo Bulls. Who dat, you say? The Bulls are 30-3, and they can run you right out of the building. They're fun to watch, and if you're looking for a team that could go deep this year, Buffalo. Get your NCAA brackets ready for next week. I'll be posting mine for you to laugh at, too. I've never won in any of these I've ever entered, so you can have a good laugh at my expense. Good luck, and we'll see you on that one early next week. Let's talk about NFL free agency. First, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Have you just seen that two of their best players have left the team this week? Antonio Brown stomped up and down and demanded a trade from the Steelers. The wide receiver is now going to Oakland. And for this week, he seems happy about the trade. The Steelers, well, they've received only a 3rd and a 5th round draft pick for a future Hall of Fame level player. Seems like they got the bad side of this deal. But on the other hand, the Pittsburgh locker room diva has now left the building in Steel City. On the surface, it looks like Pittsburgh lost in this deal, but I'm not so sure they did. They are very good with their draft picks, so we'll have to see what Pittsburgh comes up with in the upcoming draft. And then there's Steeler running back Le'Veon Bell. You might remember this is the guy who sat out the entire football season in Pittsburgh this year after the Steelers only offered him a paltry $14 million contract this season. He also gets his chance now to move as he was signed by the New York Jets this week. Bell will receive about $30 million in guaranteed money, which is good for him in case he gets hurt. But his annual pay is about the same thing he would have received in Pittsburgh anyway. Adios, Le'Veon Bell, and good luck running behind that New York Jets offensive line. It's not Pittsburgh. We're going to find out what kind of coach that Mike Tomlin is this season in Pittsburgh. If the team rises up after losing two of its best players, then he will be a candidate for Coach of the Year. I have my doubts, though. The Cleveland Browns. Hey, the big surprise to me this week was that Cleveland was able to cut a deal with the New York Giants and receive star wide receiver Odell Beckham. Beckham will be joining his former LSU teammate Jarvis Landry on the Browns this season. Hey, it's going to be Tiger Stadium North on Lake Erie this season up there in Cleveland. Though fans of Cleveland may revel in this new acquisition, it's going to be fun to see how well these two old friends, Beckham and Landry, work together now as professionals, as there's only one football to go around, too. Cleveland is trying to become a better team, and I give them credit for that. Then there's the case of the New York Giants and the Miami Dolphins. Both of those teams seem to be doing their best to send away their best players in an effort to tank for the upcoming season and set up a chance to draft one of the first picks in the 2020 draft. The New York Giants didn't have to trade Odell Beckham, although he was a prima donna, but a productive one at that when healthy. And the Dolphins this week, they dealt away their starting quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, to the Tennessee Titans this week. Well, who was on their bench? What were they thinking about? Oh, maybe they're going to sign Colin Kaepernick and end all this
endless media whining about Kaepernick once and for all. Personally, I think both teams are looking to the future, and they really don't care if they win a game this year. If you live in one of those two cities, the secondary market ticket prices should be really cheap this year. And then there's the news of the Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders. The breaking news is that the Oakland Raiders are actually going to play in Oakland again this fall. Yes, it's true. After the team announced a move to Las Vegas in 2020, maybe if the stadium gets built, the folks in Oakland became understandably upset the last year. Raider fans are loyal, but they don't always fill up the stadium either, and that's why the team's kind of moving. The team looked to move temporarily to the San Francisco area, and they were told, no, go away. They considered moving to London, but the rest of the NFL franchises said, hey, that's too expensive for me to have to go over there, forget it. Well, then, finally, they apparently have cut a deal with the city of Oakland, surprise, and stay another year at the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. The team will have to pay the city of Oakland nearly $1 million per home game to stay in the outdated stadium, while their new digs in Las Vegas may or may not be completed in another year. With Antonio Brown now a part of the team and Coach John Chucky Gruden now leading the way, the Raiders promise to be fun to watch, either in victory or, more likely, in turmoil. And finally, there's the story of Joe Flacco. The former star quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, who led them to a Super Bowl, was benched late last year in favor of a rookie and was shipped to Denver in the offseason. In one of the oddest exchanges I've seen recently, Flacco bought a page in the local Baltimore paper and he nicely thanked fans for supporting him. Very classy, good job. Well, then, oddly, the Ravens reciprocated with high praise for their departing quarterback. What? You love Joe Flacco so much, you just sent him packing to Denver? Ah, it's the love boat of the NFL. Well, that's it for this Swampcast for Saturday. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you. And love, life's sweetest reward. Let it flow, it floats back to you.